he's right here, so. Oh, we topped it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Ready to go. Yeah.
Eight iron.
Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he on the sink.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by your hosts, Kevin and Mark.
Hi, Kevin.
This is season 4, episode 2.
Let's have it.
That's not the name. That's just, let's get into it.
What's the name then?
TBC.
AK.
AK.
He returns.
He did.
What do you think?
Well, as I was typing out a Instagram post about him when he was shanking it and asking for mulligans and the rest of it,
yeah,
it just dawned on me that it's a publicity stunt. It's got people talking.
Yeah,
he's back. He's saying he's here to whoop everyone's ass and all that, and then he's finished last by how many?
Yeah, 11. Do you know what though? It is. It's eyes on the page though, isn't it?
Cause exactly.
I've seen.
That's what PR stunts do.
But that's what it's for, though, isn't it? Like, if you've got eyes on the page, then you entice sponsorship and people getting involved with your product, don't you?
No, you do. Like, that's not denying that, and it's a great move. But
you think
them
it's all
paying?
Not think he's got it in him to win a live event?
No,
I don't know. What's he shot? 76, 76, 74. I think when you haven't played golf for 12 years, that's not horrendous, that. He's had a shank, he's missed loads of little putts, but if you look at the golf swing, all right, he's not swinging it as fast as the top players in the world, but that can come.
Yeah, he got injured, didn't he? What happened? He got a shoulder injury or something? Or got some sort of injury, and then he got an £11 million payout and loss of earnings, so he couldn't play unless he had to pay all that money back. That was the insurance thing.
Yeah, yeah. And do you know what? I think it's good to see him back. The viewership on one live video was like 1.5 million, which is, from the viewingships that I've seen on live videos.
Is that a new word, is it?
Viewingship. I don't know, is it?
I don't know, I've just never.
Is it viewingship, no?
Viewingship.
Viewing ship.
It's
one of them ships that you view on.
Yeah, like
the cruise.
The QE2.
That's it, yeah. So the QE2, the QE2 statistics are in, and it's 1.5 million.
What on a reel?
No, on the actual golf.
Oh, watch it.
People who've tuned in to watch the golf live, yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
So normally, I don't think.
I think they were hovering around like 500,000.
I don't think it's reached anywhere near a million. So that straight away, more eyes on the page, more people to potentially like.
I'm not denying it, and I'm not denying that it's going to bring more eyes on the page if he starts to improve and if he won or. And he's a boss name, and it's great for Liv. I just think that it's all. I just don't know. He just doesn't strike me as a contender.
Yeah, but he's not going to just turn up on the scene after 12 years off, not playing competitive golf at that level, and just turn up and win, is he?
No.
I think anybody who expected that to happen is living in a dream world. You know,
I didn't expect him to win, but like he didn't just turn up. Like, he's obviously had warning. He could have got a bit of.
But if you look at his. So there was no real disasters on the scorecard. It was just a consistent
rusty
amount
mistakes.
Of yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think he's just rusty in competitive golf. Me and you know we've played golf at a decent level. Like, when you enter a tournament, it's not just about hitting fairways, hitting greens, putting, get up and down. There's the whole mental side and the core process. And, you know, if you make a couple of bogeys, do you get more aggressive? And we talk about the decade system, don't we, and how good that is when you're thinking about, you know, stay to your system the whole way through, but it's difficult. So he got off to a pretty poor start, Anthony Kim, and then was he chasing it, but then steadied the ship. And then day two, I think he was 6 over through his first 5 holes. So again, got off to a really shaky start, but then steadied the ship for the rest of the, and think he was level par for the rest of his round.
Ship your words of the week, is it?
Is this what we're saying?
Yeah.
Do you want it to be?
Do you want me to give him a break then, do you?
I'll ship you off this podcast. No, just do what you want. Give him hell if you want.
No,
but
give him a break.
I think if you've had 12 years off from competitive golf, you're going to need a couple of competitive rounds at that level to start to get the feels of like what tournament golf is like.
No, of course.
So there's that aspect. There's I don't know. He's probably never played in Saudi before. Ever.
No.
So then there's the new golf course and the new
surroundings. I don't think Saudi had courses when he was about.
No, well, they, so, you know, so I think if you give Anthony, the question I asked at the beginning was, do you think Anthony Kimmel will win on LIV this year? And you said no. So do you think that he will compete on LIV this year then? So in your view, do you think he's going to, so there's what? I think there's like, how many tournaments? Well, 10 tournaments left, 11 tournaments left.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to come dead last every week?
I would say so, yeah.
Interesting. See, I don't, mate.
What do you think he's going to win?
I don't think he's going to win this year, but I think he will be.
Like, how many over was he?
So he was 16 over.
So he's 16 over.
Was it 16? Yeah.
So it's 31 shots, 32 shots, 33 shots.
Off Neiman?
Mm.
Yeah, but then there's an argument that the way Neiman's playing at the moment and the way he's striking the ball, if you look at Neiman's 1-3 in his last six starts, is Neiman arguably, if not the one
well, that
of
was
the best
be,
players
that was
in the world.
Going to be my next little talking point there. Well, he's got to be, Annie.
Well, he's what? Yeah,
well, he is.
Last seven starts, fifth win, fourth win, 30th, third win.
And they're not all live.
So if you're saying that Neiman is one of the best players in the world, if not the best player in the world right now in form, and he's, what, after three rounds, an average of 10 shots behind him every time. In professional golf at that level, the way that he's saying where he is at the moment, getting them 10 shots back for him is not going to be that difficult. If this is him at the very beginning, at the very start.
Yeah, but he's not only not getting them back, so he's got to not lose 16 shots and gain another 15 shots. So it's not just the making the birdies, and it's the mistakes as well. So it's double.
All right, let's
it's not like
it...
he's having like a, you know, them roller coaster rounds where you'd have like six birdies, six bogeys, and you think, oh, that could even the ship. It's like, I don't know.
But that's what that's the exciting part with it, because he's not making loads of birdies. He's making the odd couple of birdies, but he's not making no horrendous scores as well. So that for me tells me that his game is in a consistent place where he's not all over the shop. Do you know what I mean? He's still hitting fairways, he's still hitting greens. So once he sharpens that up, gets his yardages to pinpoint, gets used to the way that the golf world is now with the tech, you know, you don't know what he's been doing over the last few years, whether he's stayed in tune with the technology, whether the clubs he's using are right for him, or, you know,
he hasn't just dusted someone else's clubs off like and come out the wardrobe, has he? Like he's...
Well, you've seen his clothing.
Yeah,
he hasn't exactly, you know what I mean?
I can't believe no one took me up on all my offers. I was offering everyone saying, get DM him, get in touch.
That'll come. So for me, I think if you break this down, Anthony Kim hasn't played competitive golf for 12 years, yeah? He turns up, and right, he comes dead last when you compare it to the field. But what you got to remember is everybody in that field is there because they've been hand-selected to be there, apart from a couple who earned the way this year. So they've been hand-selected because they are some of the, if not the best players in the world. So he's competing on LIV. I think we can all agree now the LIV field's strong. He's competing against some of the best players in the world. So he was never going to compete in his first tournament back. And if we're being realistic, he probably was going to come last. By how many, I don't know. But my point is, when he starts getting a bit sharper, when he starts getting more birdies, if those big numbers aren't there, I think he can start to compete.
You probably won't like this, but you've only got, what have you got to go off that? And I don't believe that he's got it in him, myself.
Yeah, time will tell. I'm excited to see the progression, though. Because
well, the only way is up, isn't it?
On the point of Neiman, though, is he the best player in the world right now?
In form, 1,000,000%.
Yeah, you're going that far, yeah.
1,000,000%. Who else is better?
Oh, Rory.
Chopped it about.
Didn't really. He was competing, had a bad hole. Had two bad holes.
Put in hot favourite.
Was he two?
20-odd.
Two back, wasn't he? And then he puts it in the water, tries to play it out the water, and comes off with a quad. Tournament over. It's only one hole, isn't it?
It is only one hole, but
I think if he doesn't do that, does he win this week? Maybe. He's definitely up there challenging, isn't he?
Well, I suppose, but it's the way the PGA Tour had the leaderboard set out, it was like stretched like out to like down the bottom on like Friday to make sure that you knew that McIlroy was even playing.
we spoke about this last week, didn't we? You know, and I've got to apologise there, didn't give Jake Knapp the appreciation that he probably deserves because I watched them again this week and he's unbelievable to watch.
Yeah.
Unbelievable golf swing, the way he hits the ball, the shots that he plays. I really enjoyed watching this week, if I'm honest.
No, he's obviously he can get it done on the PJ Tour, can't he? And he's come out this week, fourth?
Yeah, tied fourth, yeah.
So he's
13
under. It's again, you just lean into the run of form, firing off the week before, like going into it. Like, to know the bench, the mark's set, isn't it, by Tiger, which is just, it's a bit unfair. Golf's elite level golf's a bit unfair once you start playing well, because Morikawa comes out, does what he does. Next Tiger goes missing for 2 years. Hebert comes out, does what he does. Where's he this year? Like,
hasn't got off to a hot start.
So it's an awkward one. Like, if you suppose if you took Tiger's, what Tiger done, out the question, then all these people with their achievements are amazing.
Yeah.
Like, Tiger found the edge in physical ability and strength and power and was swing speed and was just like a different thing. And he held the putts. Like, for someone to separate themselves like Tiger done, like, what did he have to do?
They have to change the courses or roll the ball back or do something in order to, you know, golf is, it's on such an even playing field at the moment.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So everybody's got a chance to win,
yeah,
which is great if you want to see these new stories coming out all the time. But if you're somebody who likes the sport because you want to see one person dominate, like Tiger transcended the game because you tune in because you were waiting for him to win and waiting for him to just blow everyone out the waters. Like in Formula One, when like Max Verstappen at the moment dominating everyone, so you're tuning in to watch Max Verstappen. Do you know what I mean? When you're watching football, the way Man City play, like you'll always watch Man City's games, won't you? Because of the way they play, it's like entertaining.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, where does everybody, I don't know whether there's a superstar in golf anymore, is what I'm getting at.
Oh, yeah, but as you say, because everything is available to everybody, it's hard to like you've got to go, like what I was saying then about Bryson, you've got to think like, you've got to go mad, like change your body, gain all that weight, hit all the distance. And I did work for me, won what, US Open.
It worked for Matt Fitzpatrick as well, though, didn't it?
Yeah.
Matt Fitzpatrick done it, you know, he worked on something. But then on the flip side, it didn't work for Rory. It took him the other way. So yeah, so there's a lot of debate at the moment about like the world golf rankings. And, you know, Neiman's come out and said, like, I'm not even in the top 100 in the world, etc., making comments about getting in majors the week before. At the moment, because golf's on such a level playing field, it's difficult to, you've just said there, you know, Neiman, the whole point of this conversation was Neiman's the world number one. But then like...
Not world number one, as I just bet, most of best player in the world right now, yeah.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
You can't really say, like, right now, if you just look at the last 3 months, that Scheffler's the best player in the world right now, because although he is world number one, he's earned his way to be there from a great season last season. He obviously hasn't been playing, and when he did play, what, he come like, what, top five?
He just wasn't, back, same old story, just weren't holding the putts, was he? If he had all the putts, he'd win
it. So Neiman's putting the rounds together, not only on LIV, going over to the International Series.
Yeah, winning on the Asian Tour,
getting that done, and then chasing his tail. And for that, for his efforts, like what Rory said about Taylor Gooch's comments about the asterisks, he's played his way into an invite to Augusta National, because they want to see him there.
Well, news just in as well. He's got an invite to the PGA now as well.
There you go.
So he's got both of them.
There you go. And like, Gooch coming out saying all this, like what Rory's saying. Oh, the best players, people who are meant to be there, who are going to tear up, will be there.
Yeah.
Because of what they've been, like that's, they've played the way in, they've went around the world, they've done it, they've won, they've shown that, like, that they deserve it of an invite. Like, Augusta National are not probably going to turn around to Taylor Gooch and be like, oh, do you want to come?
Well, that brings on to another point, that, because Keith Pelley gave an interview on the back of him leaving the DP World Tour. One of the first things he says is that he's got no regrets about his tenure there. You know, he says that he's rebuilt...
Tenureship,
yeah. He's rebuilt the tour ship for membership. And now he's going to the Maple Leaf ship. But no, but one of the points that he makes is his statement around the majors being the majors, and that one or two players missing out isn't going to make a difference. But I think that's a dangerous statement to make, because that's the whole point of the majors, is if you've got one or two players missing out and they are key players that should be there and they're replaced by players who are not at that level for one reason or another, then especially when it's an invitational event like the Masters. I think Taylor Gooch should have got an invitation. When you've got past champions getting in, which that's the way that the model is, and fair play, it's traditional. But when you've got past champions getting in who've got no chance of winning that tournament, they're there for tradition.
Paid the dues.
Yeah, no, they're there for tradition. I'm backing that. I'm not saying he shouldn't be there, but they should.
Why should Taylor Gooch play?
Because of his form and the way he's playing, and the way he played last year, he won the whole individual.
Yeah.
So he's proven himself against that field of players. All right, John Rahm weren't there, Till Lam weren't there, Maronk weren't there at that time. But the players that were there, Brooks Koepka was a major champion last year, and over the season, Taylor Gooch beat him. Yeah. So is that not good enough to get you a spot? Whereas, you know, Matthew Pavon, who's been brilliant, he's obviously had another good tournament this week, won on the PGA Tour. It's his first season back on. His debut season on the PGA Tour, and he's done well. But he gets in for winning one PGA Tour event. So you have one good week on the PGA Tour, you get in the Masters because that's a pathway through. You have a full season on Liv playing well, and you don't get in the Masters. For me, I think there should be a place.
There is an argument for that.
Yeah.
But like Augusta being Augusta and the Masters being what it is, going about it that way, talking about Rory and sort of downplaying it to be like, he's obviously done that, trying to be like, I should be there.
With me not being there, Rory, it's devaluing Rory's victory, which I don't agree with.
I don't agree with it either, but like Augusta National are not going to respond well to that, and he's not going to get anything out of doing that.
No, definitely not. But this something has got to change with the pathway into the major championships, and the decision's got to be made fairly quick because we need to have a pathway because Liv is so competitive now. We need to have a pathway through. I get that. They've made the decision, world ranking points, blah, blah, blah. That's fine if that's the way it's going to be. But all it's doing is fracturing golf by not having these superstars playing the majors. You want to see the best players in the world playing the major championships. So going back to Keith Pelley's point that one or two players missing out isn't going to make a difference. Well, if they didn't let any Liv players play in the Masters last year, then what would that leaderboard have looked like?
Yeah.
John Rahm won it in the end, but... You know, I think from second to like eighth was all Liv players, weren't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So, remember. And then again, Brooks Koepka goes and wins a major. You know, he's a Liv player. He's got a pathway in, but the only reason he got in was because he's a past champion.
Yeah, I do think that the PGA Tour stance on everything has probably got a little old on the decisions to actually say, okay, if you win on Liv, you get in. Like, with the framework, the money, where everything's going now, the golf's a bit up in the air. The deadline was, 31st of December. Now it's moved to whenever it is, and whenever, even if it will ever get done this year, like you said, thing, yeah. Pelley.
Keith Pelley's turned around and said that it may take 6 months, it may take 5 years, it may take a decade, which tells me, if he's been privy to them conversations, that unification is inevitable, but it could take a decade. What's that telling you?
Well, it's just making me think that if we ever come together and you were all sitting in a room to be like, should we allow Liv players in? Liv probably aren't in the room to be like,
put their case
let
forward.
Us in. It's like they're making the decision to let them in.
Yeah.
So then you've got to think the PGA Tour, if they're still not inviting people back, they haven't got the framework done, they don't know how the alliance is going to look, they don't know what golf looks like moving forward. Like you said, it could take 6 months, could take 5 years. Then these decisions that are getting made behind the scenes, the PGA Tour's probably still got a big influence on how the majors decide who they're 100%. Inviting and what the pathways are.
Well, because the Liv concept...
Because then it makes Liv better again, doesn't it?
Well, the Liv concept is brand new, isn't it? So, like, 2 or 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago even, the PGA Tour would never have imagined being in this position, so they wouldn't have accounted for it. So the longer this takes and the longer this drags out and the longer... We don't see the best players in the world playing in the majors. And I think Taylor Gooch is a prime example for that. If we were going to give one case study, Taylor Gooch last year proved with his golf that he should be playing in the majors this year.
Yeah, it's like we said, I think it was last year, if you're on these main tours, like in golf, and you win that year, then your bonus should be that you get to compete in the major championships.
Yeah.
Like the DP World Tour, like if you win, you get in the more, like it's that's the, you win on LIV, you get in the more, you win on the PGA, obviously you get what you get for winning on that already. But
yeah,
it's like the PGA Tour sort of set itself as it's as the top bracket.
Yeah.
And like LIV is just it's just disturbing things, isn't it?
Well, this is it.
Like,
yeah, it's just coming and it's just disturbing the ecosystem, isn't it?
It has disturbed the ecosystem.
That's exactly what it's done. So, but the thing is, you know, when LIV first started, we know the controversy of what was going on and what people were saying and how fractured golf was. It seems to be healing now. There's not as much negativity towards LIV, even though it still exists. But you can see that the product is half decent. It's got good players. You know what I mean?
It's good.
There's still a lot of work and improvements that needs to happen. But like any startup, that's always the case, isn't it? You learn, you improve.
As you go, yeah.
But, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, at the Masters this year is still going to be unbelievable. Just be like, you know, just because Taylor Gooch isn't playing doesn't mean that it's going to be a terrible tournament. But well, it just, we need to find a way to get
people who watch the Masters who don't really watch golf may or may not even know who Taylor Gooch is.
Yeah, well, that's another point. But like, ultimately, like, you know, who's gonna have more chance of a winning? Bernhard Langer or Taylor Gooch?
No, you're right. 1,000,000% Taylor.
And Bernhard Langer, it needs to be there because that's the traditions. I'm not saying Bernhard Langer shouldn't play. What I'm saying is Taylor Gooch has got more chance of being competitive in that tournament.
Yeah.
And therefore, he's got a really good... If he was in the field, the bookies would have him as one of the favourites to win it.
I'd say he'd be up there.
He'd be up there, wouldn't he? Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, players like that, if it's so obvious, should be in the tournament.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, because of the way golf is at the moment, and there's, like we say, it is golf. LIV Golf is pretty new concept, and the ecosystem has always been tailored a certain way. It's probably been difficult to get those decisions over the line of how it does work. So
if they wanted to give Neiman an invite,
yeah,
is there a reason behind it?
Well, just because it's an invitational, they can invite whoever they want.
Yeah, but if they said like why?
No,
just because I've only seen an invite or he's been invited. Yeah. I haven't seen like because of this, you are like
I think no, because Thorborg and Ollison, but he got one as well.
Did he?
Yeah. And then there was another guy. Can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he got one as well.
Yeah.
So there was three of them that got the invitations to fill the field.
Nice.
And obviously one of them was Neiman, which is a good start because they're inviting a LIV golfer. That
is good.
So it's, you know, it's going in the right way. It's just, I don't know, how do you, unless you're sitting in the room and listen to these conversations or you get information, you haven't got a clue what's going on. It's just, we're just making an assumption based on what we read in the papers and what we see. But I think there needs to be a way where they get everybody in the majors are the four tournaments a year where you want to see the best players, and the Opens are different because you earn your way in through qualification, and that's another element that's so great about them because of the stories that come off the back of them.
Oh, 1,000,000%, yeah.
But when you've got a closed shop like the Masters and the PGA Championship,
yeah,
there needs to be a pathway in for those two.
No, 1,000,000%. I agree.
Wow. While we're on the news of Keith Pelles, then there's one more talking point I wanted to mention. And he obviously goes on his interview to talk about, you know, how he's got no regrets throughout his tenure and what he's done. He also talks about, obviously, how he got the tour through COVID and the strategic alliance which went through in 2020. The conversations that he had with LIV in 2021, but he'd already had a strategic alliance in place the previous year with the PGA Tour. He then goes on to talk about the 10 PGA Tour cards, which is, you know, it's caused a bit of controversy, hasn't it? Because, you know, if you read between the lines, people are saying it's great for the game. It's giving players an opportunity to go and earn more money. But then it's also saying, but then you're diluting the DP World Tour because you're taking the 10 best players off the tour every year in 2-3 years. That's 30 players that have gone. What's the tour going to be left with? So there is arguments for and against. But he comes out and he talks about Pavon as a prime example of why this is such a great incentive for the tour and why he doesn't understand why people criticise it. He says he's played great to gain that card. He's now won. He's in all four majors. and claims when he comes back to play the French Open on the DP World Tour, he's a much bigger star than he would have been if he'd have just stayed in the DP World Tour. Does he have a point?
He has a point, and it is great for the individual, but as a whole for the tour, like Pavon coming back to play the French Open because he's French, like, where is he at the Swiss, all these other like tournaments that are not getting no crowds, no, like the money's a bit lower and the fields are less, like these, if someone like a Pavon who's cemented himself on the DP World Tour, come top 10, got his card, or like come top 10, doesn't get a card, and he's at all these events and he's a household name, or slowly becoming, next Ryder Cup, all these different things that come with it. The DP World Tour needs that.
Yeah. So do you mean him coming back just for the odd event? So they should make it mandatory that when you get these cards, you think you've got to come back and play.
You'll come back for what? The French Open and the Rolex events?
Yeah.
You're not probably going to see him. Like, why would you compete for 400 grand when you can compete for 1.6 million?
Well, that's it. He's won. And then I think, did he finish top 10 and maybe just outside the top 10 again this week? I know he was up there.
So the money that you're getting is it's no fault of his.
It's the world rankings as well. We said last week he was 24 in the world, but he's probably moved up again now with a good finish there.
Yeah,
maybe even inside the top 20 in the world now, so as a golfer.
That gets him. He's in all four majors and he's at it, which is fair enough. And it's a great opportunity. I just don't think as a full package, losing them 10 players is a good thing for golf.
Yeah. On the other side, does it then give the opportunity for the next rising stars to come through and get, and there's more opportunities then to see the next people, the next players coming through. So challenge tour players or players who have just turned professional and go through the qualifying school, and you've got a real raw talent there, has got more chance of getting on the DP World Tour. And then because he's playing against the more weakened tour as such, because all the good players have gone, if that's what we're saying, they've got more chance of then getting on the PGA Tour faster.
Well, exactly. So it's They come through and they're gone. So it becomes a conveyor belt then, which is exactly what the issue is. That's the argument against it, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it's, do you want the DP World Tour to be a challenger against the PGA Tour? So you've got, you know, some of the best players in the world playing DP World Tour, and then some of the best players in the world playing the PGA Tour, some of the best players in the world playing LIV, and then they all meet in the majors.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, like, If you're a European person, like, there should be a commitment. If you're a member, and there should be a minimum amount of events that you have to play in, it should be a decent number as well.
Yeah, there is, isn't there? You to keep your membership.
Yeah, but it's like four or something, isn't it? Or five. Yeah,
and the Rolex take
and
care
then
of that.
You can get rid, and the majors count as that.
Yeah.
Like, you should have to play four or five lesser events.
And we've seen this over the years, haven't we, where players play one or two tournaments in that.
Remember, who was supposed to win?
Morikawa.
Didn't set foot in Europe.
Yeah, Morikawa, yeah.
So it's...
Played a couple of events in the Middle East, and he was going to the DP World Championship.
So it's like, never even been to Europe, and he's winning the European Tour.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, there's so many different things that need to change in golf, and the things that are changing, like, when there's someone rolling balls back and doing all the rest of the nonsense, like, they're minimal.
Yeah. Well, what have you got golf news-wise?
So, Gary Woodland has won the GWAA Ben Hogan Award, which is given to an individual who remains active in golf despite a physical handicap or serious illness. Obviously, Gary underwent a cranatomy.
Yeah, he had it.
Something like that. He had obviously a brain lesion removed. So, he's won that award, which was announced Monday. Which is fair enough, isn't it?
Definitely.
Like, you're not going to argue with that.
You go through a major surgery like that and then come back and play competitive golf. It's a great recovery.
Done, of course, yeah.
million percent.
And then Tiger's been named the recipient of the Bob Jones Award by the USGA, which is the highest honour that you can get. Obviously, by the USGA, Tiger won 3 junior AMs, 3 US AMs, and then he's won 3 US Opens. Yeah. So he's won 9 times under the thing. Obviously, we all know Tiger Woods.
That was inevitable, wasn't it? That award. It just hasn't. When was he going to get it?
Yeah.
He was always going to win it, wasn't he?
I think it's only ever been won by 2 other people.
Yeah.
So it's just for commitment to sportsmanship and respect for golf's traditions.
Yeah.
So I think Jack Nicklaus and somebody else has won it. But that gets Tiger into this year's US Open.
All right, so he wasn't qualified prior.
I don't know. That's what I read. That's what it said.
Interesting.
I thought that he just. I just can't imagine he's going to open qualifying. Can you? Like,
no,
all
definitely
that. So,
not. No, I don't know. I suppose yet if he's past winner, get 5 years, don't they? So it doesn't last forever, I suppose.
Does he get anything for winning the Masters?
Well, yeah. If you win a major, you get 5 years. Into
so that's
the mall,
gone
don't
now.
You? That's yeah. Well, 2019. Yeah.
Doesn't COVID give it a little minute off? Maybe.
Probably not. No. Maybe.
Like, it would be mad to think those Tiger Woods have to qualify for, like...
Just seeing Tiger at West Langs.
I just think, literally just thinking it then, honestly, that is mental.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any other golf news?
Fair play, yeah. I mean, the only other couple of bits of golf news I've got is Paul Eisinger. He's obviously spent 30 years on tour, followed by 18 years in broadcast, and he's now split with NBC.
Yeah,
on and he's come out and he's made quite a juicy statement. To be fair, he's just what we've been speaking about on the pod, basically that the best players aren't all playing the PGA tournaments now. That's over. So he went on to say that the PGA Tour has fast become the qualifier for LIV, and it's a sad day for golf. So it's interesting that he's come out and said that basically the PGA Tour is a feeder tour for LIV. So just your comments on that.
Where does that come from? Like. Would he still be saying that if he didn't part ways, or like, is he just disgruntled?
Yeah,
ex-employee sort of thing, or is
he's made it clear he didn't like how it ended. He was trying to counter offer. This is what it says in the article. He was trying to counter offer, and he just said, they just said no. Now's the time, and that's basically it. They wouldn't negotiate with him, and then they called time on it.
It was Eisinger who had that interview with Tiger, wasn't it?
Saying you learn.
You'll learn and all that.
Was it?
Was it not?
I don't think it was. You know, Eisinger was playing when Tiger was playing.
Yeah.
I don't think it was Eisinger.
No. Was it? I've got Eisinger in my head, though. Was it Curtis Strange?
Curtis Strange. That's
yeah.
Who it was, yeah.
That
Curtis was
strange. Strange
comments
by him.
Strange comment.
No, I was going to say, like, if it was Eisinger's head in my head, it was him. Like, is that the worst thing he's ever said? Or is it like, is that true? What do you think of it? I think it isn't becoming a feeder tour. But,
it's definitely not. But it's definitely not becoming a feeder. I mean, what, just because John Rahm's gone? You know,
yeah, Smith
lost,
went, didn't he?
Yeah, Cam Smith went. Yeah, you've lost a Brooks Koepka. You've lost a lot of top quality players, but just look what the PGA Tour's still got.
No,
Jordan Spieth, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy. They've still got the PGA Tour university ranking, so the majority of amateurs... Like who are at the top end, right? You might have your Caleb.
Or maybe he knows more than what we know.
Yeah.
And like when he's not saying it for what is happening now, he's saying it for fast becoming of what is going to happen. Yeah. And then my Champions League thing is going to be.
Was that yours?
Come
was it?
True, yeah.
So what did we say? The.
Like you have the Asian DP PGA Tour on like a line, they're all the same.
Everyone can
and then
play any.
All, and then all the winners go to LIV and you get your spot on LIV.
What, and team captains stay the same and the teams just change through a draft or something?
I mean, we didn't really get that far into it, I don't think.
No, I like talking LIV changes.
LIV changes, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've already nailed it, haven't you?
I did nail it, yeah. Little cut.
Did Greg not ring you over there?
I had a few missed calls off 033 numbers, but that might be because of unpaid bills.
Anyway. But I just think that... It's under the circumstances that he said it. Like it's just last stick of dynamite behind the money.
Yeah, do you know what? I don't agree with it. If I'm honest, I don't think that the PGA Tour
is a bad word. I think
it's fast become a qualifier for
qualifier.
Said,
sorry, yeah.
And it's a sad day for golf. I just don't agree with that. But you know what does he know that we don't? Is the question?
Like, what
it?
Day is he on about?
Yeah, exactly that. And then. Just some exciting news to talk about is in 48 hours' time, we'll be able to tune in to Full Swing Part 2 as Netflix will air the second season of Full Swing.
Sick.
Yeah. So
it was boss the first one.
It was great, yeah.
It obviously had a bit of... I've seen a few neggy reviews on it saying like, oh, it's just showing elite, it's just doing that.
That's what golf is though, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose.
You know what I mean? You watch Drive to Survive, you're not seeing teams from F2 or F3, are
no,
you?
No, so, you're not. You know,
you want to see what the best players in the world are getting up to.
That's what makes the telly, don't it? Exactly.
Yeah, inside the rope. So this year, it's going to include Ryder Cup captain Zach Johnson and Luke Donald. So it'll be interesting to see. their dynamics, if it talks you through the behind
team
the ropes of how
they're going on, yeah,
how they're making picks and how they're making decisions. Because I know from Luke Donald's interview, he had Aberg as a selection quite early on, even before he was doing what he was doing. He said he played with him at an event, and he said he'd never seen nothing like it.
Oh, I remember that come out, yeah.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see a bit more and dive into the... And especially because Zach Johnson got so much scrutiny as well for how it went and the way he didn't... Who was he? Didn't pick Keegan Bradley.
Yeah.
And then Keegan Bradley's on it as well, so it'd be interesting to see the both sides of that.
Yeah.
Wyndham Clark won a major last year. He's on it, so it'll be interesting to see that. The Fitzpatrick brothers are on it together, so it'd be good to see the dynamic now that Alex is playing full-time on the DP World Tour. He had a Challenge Tour win last year, qualified for the Open.
It'd be good to see a bit of a peer on it if they show a bit of an open qualifier.
Yeah, so anybody who wasn't listening last year to the pod and is new to the pod, we had 5 golfers playing. Four at West Lancs final qualifying, and Chappie was up in Scotland, weren't he?
Yeah.
Playing open qualifying. So the hopefully...
If they show any footage from West Lancs...
You're going to see it.
You're going to see a peer on, surely.
Surely to God, yeah.
So we're going to have a scene on Netflix all over.
What are you most excited to see? On it.
Well, DJ's on it, isn't he?
So DJ's the sole live. So the players that are on it, Rory, JT, Tom Kim, Joel Darman, Wyndham Clark, Keegan Bradley, Justin Rose, Fitzpatrick brothers, and then the Ryder Cup captains.
No Spieth, no.
Like,
obviously, Dustin Johnson, it'd be an interesting one.
No
because
Koepka either, because Koepka was on it last year.
Dustin Johnson would be an interesting one because he's cool, like, off the camera, he seems to do a lot, like get up to a lot, doesn't he? So,
and he was one of the first to go to live as well, weren't he?
Yeah.
So he'll have a lot to say.
And he was most honest as well.
Yeah.
So it'd be good to see that. It'd be good to see, because obviously when they done like the went into the different tournaments and different things, and then they had the at home bits.
Yeah.
They were sort of like the best bits, I thought. Where like you seen what they're like, who they're staying with. There's people like that Dan Rappaport was round at like Fitzpatrick's house.
Yeah.
And, like, just little things like that. Who knocks on?
Yeah, he's, like,
who's mates?
Who's playing FIFA?
Who's
with
playing out in that? Like, yeah. It's just,
yeah,
they're
no,
the
definitely.
Best bits, aren't they? So
yeah, 100%.
Rory and DJ, I mean, probably me two things I'm looking forward to.
I'm looking forward to seeing the creation and progression of the TGL, because obviously there's big hype on the TGL starting in January, weren't there? And obviously, the big, was it a fire? It was a fire, wasn't it?
I think it was the roof caved in.
Yeah. So obviously, that's been delayed for 12 months. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they went about that concept.
Well, is that all going to be on it as well?
I don't know. I mean, Rory's on it. Keegan Bradley's on it. They're both part of TGL, aren't they? They're on the same team together. So surely if Rory's on it and he's talking about, that's a main part of...
That'd be great to actually see like them coming up with the concept.
I'm also interested in looking at... So do you remember when the PGA Tour and Liv...
Oh, the major come up and he was sitting on CNN, not even a golf channel.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was breaking news.
Piff and Monaghan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were on there. And so I know...
It'd be good to get Monaghan on there, wouldn't it? Like, going on the 6 straight away and all that straight after. Like, what are you up to?
This is the thing. There was, you know, a lot...
It turns into a sitcom then, though, doesn't it?
A lot happened, then, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing the players' reaction to that. I'm looking forward to seeing... I want to see if it captures Rory's changing tone as well towards Liv.
He won't let that.
Because that was a big 360, wasn't it?
That was a handbrake turn, like.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see whether it pinpoints something that happened.
But they're not going to show people in like a bad light, are they, if they're on it? Like, they're starting, like, they get probably going to pull over what gets...
But there might be something that supports Rory's reason, so it gives him
I think we can be
hopeful, can't we?
Oh yeah, no,
lot has happened that I'd be disappointed if we didn't see some of those key moments.
I don't think any of them moments what you're hoping for will be shown, because it's too, like, any of the controversy,
and there's legal battles going
show,
on legal battle going on as well, so you've got to be careful, I suppose.
That's it.
But yeah, so that was the golf news this week. I know. Obviously, as we started last week with Review with Stu, we'll be speaking to Stu again. Great start to the selections. Where,
1,000,000%.
You know, the man is backing up the reason he's been 10 years in profit.
1,000,000%.
Looking forward to speaking to him later on.
That'll be fun, that, getting into that. But before we get into there, like a little, just a run round of the weekly winners of from around the tour. So the DP World Tour, Jonathan Gumberg beat Robin Williams in a playoff in the SDC in South Africa. Austin Eckerat wins the Cognizant Classic by 3 from Eric Van Ruyen. Joaquim Niemann won Liv Jeddah by 4 from Louis Oosthuizen.
Yeah.
What are your takeaways? Obviously, we've covered quite a little bit of ground, haven't we? But
so let's go Cognizant Classic. It's just finished now, hasn't it? Went on to a Monday finish. It's the lowest scoring we've seen at that event. You know, the PGA National has always been pronounced for being a really, really tough track. You know, the scoring, you know, you go to the bear trap and everything, you know, that they widened the fairways, cut the rough down, and just made it a bit more accessible. The weather helped as well, you know. So they've took that core part of that event out of the difficulty, and they've made it quite a low scoring week. You know, proof of that was yesterday, Van Ruyen starting with 7 birdies in a row, shooting 28 front nine.
Unbelievable golf, that.
You know, but
big testament to Dunk McCarthy and the work he's doing with him.
Yeah, well, he posted about it, didn't he? And said, like, unbelievable to watch this live.
Yeah.
Posted on a story today. So I think, you know, what's your view on it? You know, it like Stu mentioned last week, this tournament has been at that event, at the Honda Classic, for years and years, and it's got a reputation, and they change that reputation. Do they then take away the...
I just think it's when they're doing things like that, it's in my conspiracy, like, everything's got an agenda head.
Yeah.
It's like, why would you want to make a tournament that's around for being hard, easy? So then you can look back at the stats and be like, this is why we need to roll the ball back. Look what's happening to this course. Look what's happening here. Look at the scores.
Isn't that proof, though? Like, on that point, though, what you've just made, that's a perfect point. Isn't that proof, though, if you make the course as difficult, you don't need to roll the ball back?
That's it. That's exactly what every single person is saying. Like, all the CEO of Titleist come out and all that. Remember, we had that big statement from last year talking about how the distance and how everything's changed. Scoring's actually got worse and all these things because the courses are getting harder and they're doing things. But the architecture's getting better.
Yeah.
But, like, they're still going ahead with the mentalness. It can only be described as a mental ship.
Mental ship. Yeah, no, it's a good point. It is a very good point. And it's proof that, you know, you can manipulate golf courses to become a lot tougher. Natural conditions like weather and rain obviously play a factor, and that's another point I wanted to come on to was Shane Lowry.
Oh my word, that was another my next point. Like, what?
Another reason. Another example of, you know, a delay, a bit of bad weather, and he just doesn't seem to get rid of.
What we review, which Stu was talking about, like saying, like, the weather conditions change. Lowry was thinking, Maronka's already. Wasn't wrong.
Strache
was already on the par 5 and 2 after the rain delay. Lowry couldn't get nowhere near it.
Wind and
so the firm, fast conditions played to Lowry's strength. That's why he was hometown favourite, as Stu pointed out. As soon as that tornado warning comes in, there's a rain delay. Lowry comes out and
conditions are totally different.
Goes to bits.
Yeah. Well, it changes and the conditions of the course, doesn't it?
It changes. It's a different, totally different. So it doesn't suit. It's not a suitor to Lowry anymore.
Suppose.
So it's happened to him like 2 years on the bounce.
Yeah. Where he's been in prime position to get it over the line, hasn't done it.
The weather's done him in.
Yeah, but again, you know, he finished 2 birdies in the last 3 holes and still got a tied 4th.
Yeah.
So like that, he's finished 5th, 2nd, 4th, 3 years in a row. So it's like, the course...
But that 2nd and 4th could be back-to-back wins if the weather stays...
If he gets good weather conditions right through. Yeah, yeah. There is. It's
But how many times do you get a full delay? It's not every week, is it? So it's happened to him twice.
But that was a 3.5-hour delay, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, he hadn't teed off at that point. So he's gone in. He's probably turned up, done his prep. Well, mind you, 3.5 hours, maybe he hadn't turned up at that time, but he's probably woke up and...
It shakes your day up, doesn't it? And then he's obviously got the feels from last year, thinking, oh, I remember, like, what happened here in this storm? This happened again. And then he comes out and he's a couple over through eight.
I suppose it's mentally draining, isn't it?
Exactly, it is.
You're waiting around all day to tee off. You tee off when it's a bit colder, a bit later. And it's
a lot softer,
and then you don't get off to the best start. A couple of bogeys in there, and you're chasing, you're chasing the pack then, aren't you?
Exactly.
Especially with Austin Eckhout, who we'll come on to now, you know.
And Van Rooyen. Oh, Austin Eckhout was the 800 through... Van Rooyen was 700 through, like...
Well, Van Rooyen was... I mean, Austin Eckhout could have been about... Could have done a Van Rooyen if he knocked the putt in.
Yeah.
He was sticking it so close. His iron play is unbelievable and just couldn't knock the putt in. And obviously, he went back-to-back. Birdie's got himself a bit of a lead and that was it. Then he was off.
That was it.
Made a bogey coming in, but then birdied again and that was, you know, ends up winning by 4 in the end, was it? Three, 1700
yeah.
He finished, yeah, 300 to Van Rooyen. But yeah, I enjoyed the tournament, but another, obviously, question is, like, where were the rest of them? Are they all waiting for Bale next week because it's a signature event?
That's
this
it.
Week? Should they be playing in this tournament? Like, where's Scotty Scheffler? Where's Victor Hovland? Where's the people who are going to make the product better? Like, where's
Well, they haven't even
Jordan
got to
Spieth?
Play in all of them 20 million, is it? Is signatures?
No,
there?
They can miss one, can't they? Miss two,
I think, because... Who could in someone get in trouble?
Rory missed them, yeah. Couldn't get the pip,
was it?
Couldn't get the pip, that was it.
So even the commitments for even the bigger events aren't even there.
Yeah.
So why would they play a lesser event?
Yeah.
And get like less money sort of thing. But, I mean, it's not to be snuffed at, is it? It's like 1.6 million for the winner.
Still 20 million pace, isn't it? No, 10 million.
This week?
What was it this week?
I don't know.
Not 20, sorry. That's the signature then, 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you still, like you say, 1.6 million
for winning.
Yeah, it's 4 million for the win of the signatures, isn't it? Yeah.
It's like the season, like, sort of starts, like, next week, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, the Florida Swing is really the kickoff season, isn't it? With where you get the good weather, you got Bale next week, and then you've got the players, and then you've got the build-up to the Masters.
Yeah.
So maybe they're just getting themselves ready for that. A lot of golf over the next few weeks, and then the major season hits, doesn't it, with the four majors, one a month.
Yeah,
right up to the FedEx. So there's a lot of golf to be played. Yeah, I mean, it was still a great tournament. I enjoyed it. Obviously, the weather delay always
puts a dampener on things.
Other golf tournaments, then obviously, Liv, we've already spoke about, haven't we?
Oh, there's just one more. There's one more little talking point on the Cognizant.
Yeah.
So, just a mad one. So, David Skins,
yeah,
caddy, fell down a hole on the fifth.
Oh yeah,
and Dunner's putter in.
Bent it, yeah.
So his putter went from, when he got it checked, he bent it to 25 degrees loft. And then when because of rule 4.1, a player's allowed to keep using or repair any damaged club during a round, no matter what the damage is, even if the player damaged it in anger.
That's great knowledge, as you know that.
I just read it there. And I didn't know that for the start. That's one of the main points of it. Remember, if you hit a tree, your wedges, you've altered the club, so you couldn't play. Yeah. That's obviously being changed. But when he...
One of the major changes, weren't they? Major and minors, weren't they?
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
When he got in, though, he bent it, and then when he got it measured, he put it to -1 degree aloft and made it 7 degrees flat.
Didn't he hold a putt as well?
And then he knocked a decent stroke in on the next one.
Yeah.
And then he carried on with the rest of the tournament and had a good week. But I just didn't know you could do that. That's what was a bit...
Yeah, because that rule as well, on the back of that, it's if you damage it or your caddy damages it, even if you damage it in anger, you can amend it, but you can't replace it if it's you or your caddy. But if somebody else does it, like if somebody comes on and robs your driver or snaps your driver or whatever, like that Rory thing
years
back where the fella come on and started swinging his driver, if he'd have got off with that driver, Rory could replace it because it wasn't him. But if Rory wraps his driver around a tree, don't know why he'd be in a driver by a tree, but you know what I mean? If that situation occurs, then he can't replace it.
Right, I see, yeah. Well, I just thought it was a great little mad little tournament because, like, just these little rules that you don't fully read into. If you haven't fully studied the rules of golf, like, you just assume that the rule's still the same as the last time you thought about it.
You still drop them from your shoulder.
No, you drop it behind you, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Oh, out your pocket? That's you do.
Out your pocket, yeah.
You told me that was a new rule.
What?
You told me that was a new rule when you done that?
Yeah, a secret rule.
Secret, yeah.
Our little secret, that guy.
So, the other tournament, the DP World Tour, what's the talking points?
Yeah, so I think it's just going back to the information from review with Stu again. Obviously, that being a South African Lynx and... picking Connor Syme. Obviously, Syme was leading going into the final day, but him and Dan Brown, both in the final group together, just couldn't get it going. They were both like 2-3 over. Probably just to discuss, you know, what is it about golf when you get to that position? Because the same thing happened with Lowry. I know we've already spoke about it. Lowry and Sims going into the final day leading, and then after nine holes, they're both like two over. And then the same with Simon, Dan Brown, yeah, both leading, and then halfway.
It's the pressure, isn't it? There's one pressure, like Kim coming back on after 12 years, scorecard in hand. But then the scorecard in hand over 4 days when you're about to close, get a W, it's you're completely, you know yourself when you've got a good round going, like your head just goes, doesn't it?
Yeah. Is there something to be said about the 54-hole golf tournament competitions then? Because does that mean that?
I think you're still, even if 18, after 36, I think 18 holes after, with two holes to play, you've got a 3-shot lead, or one hole to play, you've got a 5-shot lead. You never, even Tiger used to say, you never felt like it was
done until it was done.
Exactly. Yeah. So just pressure, isn't it?
It is just pressure, yeah. But that was all I wanted to speak about on that, because obviously I watched a little bit of it, but it wasn't on telly. So no. I only catch the highlights, so I couldn't watch any of the live action. I don't know why it wasn't on telly, I think.
Tell you what was on telly though.
What?
Appeared on clothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was, yeah.
You thought say you sent me?
Oh yeah. Oh, sorry, that's miles away there. Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, Dan, who is a caddy.
See, he was like that, like
yeah,
and he had the fairway with the cap.
He sent me pictures throughout the week saying we're on the DP World Tour, so we were buzzing, like, oh my god, yeah, unbelievable, can't believe it. Because that's what we've always said, isn't it? You know, like when you start a clothing brand, there's always little goals and little targets that you tick, and it was like, right, let's get a professional golfer wearing it, which, you know, we knew would be quite an easy win because of basically our mates really in it. Yeah. You know what I mean? A lot of them. And then, you know, the next stage after that was, right, can we get it on this tour? Can we get it on that tour? And it was always get it on the DP World Tour. Now, when we're saying that, we're thinking, get a player to wear it on the DP World Tour.
Yeah, your goals come round. Like, if you don't make them specific, they come round in mad ways.
That's it, yeah. So
I think that a win on the DP World Tour is being, like, as a goal.
I'm thinking win a major.
Yeah. Obviously.
Win a major. Yeah, no, it was... Again, another tip box for us. Say we're about to launch Appear on Clothing 2.0.
Well, that'll bring us nicely on to that time again, won't it?
It's that time again, y'all.
It's that time again, y'all. The birdie boogie bust, the birdie boogie bust, birdie boogie bust.
So the birdie, as we're doing joint ones this season, aren't we? Obviously, is after the pod finished Monday, a naughty delivery of 40 odd boxes landed, which usually goes to the warehouse, but it went to your address.
It did, yeah. I know, I don't know what happened.
And then, obviously, I don't know if anyone follows the socials, but Mark had to pack all the boxes into
the motorhome
and then bring them down
to the warehouse.
And yeah. It's just all part of the journey. And it's great.
No, it was, yeah. It's a bit of exercise for me as well. I struggled to get in the gym last week. I've had a decent start to the year. With my fitness goals and stuff, and I've been getting in the gym and eating a bit better. And I had a bad week last week, but then it was compensated by lifting all them boxes. They're not light either, you know.
No, I had to go with them.
Yeah, so no, it's great that it's all arrived. Obviously, we've got some really good partnerships. We thanked them all last week. We've got some good partnerships this year with a number of professional PGA pros who are stocking it in their shops, and you know, hopefully their members will enjoy the product. And, you know, we said 2021. I forgot to mention Callum Blinkhorn last week, so apologies, Cal. He's another one of our appearing athletes. So we're just organising now to get the clothing out to the athletes. Hayden is off to Dubai on Saturday, going over to play an event that the Clutch Tour have put on. So, again, the new gear will be on show in the sun in Dubai, first week of it being launched. So it's it's exciting times for us, just to see. You know, we've mentioned in the past it's been received very well. People like it, people like our story, what we're trying to achieve. But ultimately, you know, this is the way to get serious now, isn't it? You know, first season, fresh on the scene, people are probably going to give you the chance. The feedback's been great. It's now to see how far we can take it, isn't it?
Well, that's it. Like, we've obviously, the range that we've got is polos, hoodies, one mid layer, and we've come up with a little concept of four new mid layers, and we've got three multi polos, four mid layers, and then we've got seven new designs that have landed. on the way. We've got other items to add to the collection as we move through the season. And it's just, as you say, we've got a foothold in a few bits of the market now, and it's seeing how it goes this year. It is, it's nervous, but it's exciting as well at the same time, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I think that's because our model, it's situated the right way, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's like we're in this game because we love it. I think it's pretty clear to see on the podcast that we do and the way we're passionate about the game. So I think we can get a sense of achievement as well as seeing other people achieve, and we can achieve together. And it's like becomes the appeal on family.
That's it.
You know, if you make a few quid along the way, it's a perfect business model, isn't it?
Well, that's it. If you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. So
and
it's
that's what
like,
we're finding.
And that's like where we both work and we're doing other things, and then we're doing this, and then we work on the clothing. Like one of the nights we didn't get in till 9, 10 o'clock at night because we're packing orders, and like it's just, but it doesn't feel like work. It's not like we're looking at the clock thinking, when can we get off? It's like we're going to do that out extracurricularly just to get it done because we love it.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's fun, but more to come next week. I think we're going to try and do a live next week on TikTok once we get it all set up, aren't we? And showcase all the new, we'll put all the new clothes here and we'll showcase everything and show a full
full range. We're in a bit of a transitional period at the moment, aren't we? The stuff's just landed, so we're working on getting the website all updated with the new product so we can launch it live. We've got a content day the following week down at Wallasey. So big thanks to John again for helping us out with that and giving us the access to such an unbelievable golf course. And the pictures last year were unbelievable, weren't they? The videos, because you know it's unbelievable what he's done at that track. So over the next 2 or 3 weeks it will be getting shoved down everyone's
throat.
But yeah, at the moment, months. It's just, exactly, forever. But that's where we are at the moment. We're just getting back on track with the podcast now. So I say podcasts will be coming thick and fast. We're going to have the athletes on. Speaking to Joey Brooks earlier today, he's going to come on and do a pod. Speaking to Jack Mack, Dan Croft, Appearing Academy starting again tomorrow. We've got a group coming down to Bootle to make golf improvements all part of the ecosystem. So yeah, it's exciting times to be part of the brand, and we're excited to see where it goes. But in more negative news, what's the bogey?
So
it's yours. I don't agree with it.
I know you wanted this to be the birdie, really, but it's LeBron James and Drake investing money into the PGA Tour.
I just can't see how that's a bad thing.
It's no, it's not a bad thing. It's just a bad thing. It's not a bad thing because it's great. Money coming in can't be bad. LeBron, Drake, massive stars, big pull, social media everywhere, golf amazing. Like, look what DJ Khaled's doing on his own, like just floating around. Let's go golfing and all that. Brings it, adds eyes to the page. Golf, brilliant. The bogey, the reason it's the bogey is the Tiger said it, like we've got money, so we don't need the Saudi investment, we don't need this from the PIF. That's probably what's delaying the framework. And I think as much money as they can come with, they can just come with more.
So you thinking it from a point
delaying the inevitable.
And it's keeping golf fracture for a longer period of time.
It's making it, no one knows where they're at for longer because they're scrounging around trying to get money, investment, make it bigger, PGA Tours, this. When really,
that's going to be a good thing for golf if money's coming in from all angles.
It's good for elite level. It's good for eyes on the page. I just think that it's like you've still got they're still lurking, still waiting, still wanting to talk, still wanting to do things. They'll just keep buying more players.
Yeah.
What happened? Rory said that he was 10% thinking about going.
Yeah.
Like, what happens when they throw $1 billion at him?
Is it? Yeah, this is what I said
like,
before.
What's going to happen when they lose? Like,
yeah, I can get you
to go for that. Rory's the Achilles heel. You know, Rory, if he took Rory.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can... Exclamation point there.
Like, imagine it.
I know. It's unimaginable, isn't it?
Well, you sit there, Rory. $1 billion. $2 billion. 3 billion.
10 billion.
10 billion.
54
100 billion. Rory probably said, I'll give you $1 billion.
Let me in.
Like, no. It's mentally, it's what can happen. It's just,
I said before, though, like, whatever does happen, it's got to change soon enough because we need to get golf.
Well, that's why it's the bogey, because this is, if all the money's away and PGA Tour is struggling for money, they have to take the deal.
Yeah.
And they have to take the framework. Because they've got money, that Tiger let it slip. That's the reason that they're not. Spieth said it as well.
I half agree with what you're saying, but I also think that the PGA Tour product is unbelievable. I don't really agree with what they're doing with the tour schedule, with the designated events and the splitting them. I think we probably should get more of the top players playing more often, but we'll see how that progresses as we come on to next week. Like you mentioned, it's really the kickoff start of the season now, so
yeah.
It's been a bit slow to start with, but that tends to happen anyway.
No,
it starts to kick on from now anyway, doesn't it? But I think this is going to be a good thing. You know, Fenway Group Sports Group invested $3 billion into the tour. Drake said golf can be so much more than a sport. I remember some of my best childhood memories was being on the golf course with my uncle. No figures have been disclosed yet, but there's talk about this being the lads being strategic investors because they're expected to use the marketing power to help the tour broaden its audience. So more eyes on the page, you know, more opportunities for golf to grow.
No, 1,000,000%. Like yeah. Reaching different demographics, different areas that people might not have. Like some of their followers and fans, if they love basketball, they love rap, golf might be not even in their minds. So if they're starting to play golf, and they're going to attract more people into the game of golf, which is it's great from that aspect. The reason it was my bogey is because of, I believe, that it's just delaying things.
Yeah. But that's just where the powers need to get together and just come up with a solution. But it's not like they're not working on it. At least they're talking now. It's just a waiting game, isn't it?
It is.
And we just hopefully we can get it sorted soon enough.
Just what's for the bust?
I think it has to be Anthony Kim, doesn't it? We had a really good conversation about it at the beginning of the podcast. Now, I don't think it's as bad as the scoring shows. I mean, I know he's come last by 11 shots and he's shot, you know, he's not made that many birdies and things, but this is another bust, like, you know, where it could easily be turned into a birdie. He's back, he's doing well, but I don't know, it's the bust just because
I suppose if he'd come out and shot three rounds at level par,
yeah,
and you're like, whatever,
yeah,
but like that because he's sort of like he's sank so much that like it if he like you think he's going to come good, it makes it all the better, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's like he set the stage, and
he shot 6 over, 6 over, 4 over,
he's improved.
Yeah, but I think on day two and day three, he had something like 11, 12 pars in the bounce on both of them. So there's
convert a few of them,
you know, and then your 74 becomes a 70, your 76 has become 72s, and he's only 4 over, and he's probably coming last as a tied last. Do you know what I mean? Just didn't sound as good as I thought it was going to.
Like you do know, do you? And he's probably come on tied last.
Oh, what was that? I know what I meant.
That's
I just
my birdie.
In his view, he's come out and he said that his swing is fine and he just needs repetitions. And I think that's the headline to take away from the podcast for me, is that once he gets more competitive golf behind him, he's got a schedule now. He knows where he's going to be playing. He'll get grafting with a coach. He'll sharpen everything up. And I think what I'm excited about is if this is him rusty and not played in 12 years, if he is as good as we think he could be because of past experiences and what we've seen of him, like it could be a special, special time for Anthony Kim.
And I hope you're right.
I hope I am as well. So, it's that time again, but not y'all. It's that time again, Stu.
You should make the song for this one.
Should I, yeah? Review with Stu. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh. Right then, let's have a chat with Stu. Right, welcome back then, Stu. Big smile on your face. I wonder why.
Good week.
Very good week. Explain.
Exciting. Yeah, so... Not often you get the chance to get something back from each market, as we just sort of introduced there. We first round leader is a bit of a trademark of what I've done over the years because of the data and what we finished off talking about last week. We can carry on talking about that. But to 2/3 places out of those 156 we mentioned in the first round on both tours, and then even better in the outright markets, so actually had 2 of the top 8 in America, which was obviously delayed, which we'll talk about. Unfortunate for Shane Lowry again. Second time in 3 years he's been done by storms, which quite clearly doesn't suit his game, throws him off. He was the 54-hole leader, as was Connor Syme, two guys we mentioned last week. So very pleasing that out of 312 different golfers, the two that we mentioned both finished fourth in their respective field and arguably could and indeed should have done better. So, yeah, a very pleasing start to our new segment. No pressure going forwards.
That's it.
Well, do you know what? We actually just discussed about Lowry on the pod getting done by the weather. And as you say, not suited to his game. Where was the data on that one to predict the tornadoes and the storms coming in and doing them well, in?
Yeah, if anyone can predict the weather at golf at the moment, that's a skill in itself. But yeah, you know, you probably are quite right. But what if that storm had come 24 hours earlier or later, and all of a sudden, if you'd planned for it to come before the final round, it didn't come? Yeah, I think you have to draw the line somewhere. But yeah, very unfortunate for him. You know, I believe he was 12 under par through 36 holes and finished 13 under par. So he only gained one shot when people behind him performed actually better at the weekend. So, yeah, it was very unfortunate with that. But I'm sure the same rules will apply in 51 weeks' time. If we're still doing this, I'm sure we will be, hopefully. We'll be having the exact same conversation. His record there now, which already was good, is now, you know, borderline phenomenal. And Jordan Spieth at Augusta, like he's barely even been out of the top four in all of his appearances now. And that's another tie for fourth. So he must be so comfortable going there next year.
Well, he said that, didn't he, in one of his interviews that he'd done, that he just feels, that's exactly it. He feels so comfortable at that place, and feels like he knows the course. Obviously, it was very well publicised. There's been a few changes at the course, and it was a bit more gettable than it has been in past years. I don't know whether they're doing that from an entertainment perspective to see more birdies on the course. But say the bear trap was as lethal as ever. Rory fell foul of that, didn't he? Trying to chip one out the water. I don't know what he was playing at there, but
as well, you know, like you say, the previous 10 playings of that event, only one person at any given time was in double figures under par. And this event alone, there was 27 people, 10 under or 11, 12, 13, or, you know, or double figures or better. So a completely different kettle of fish. But still, you know, Shane Lowry was still one of those 27, and he managed to come through. And obviously Cameron Young, I don't think we mentioned on the pod, but he was one that came out on top. And he's another name that we will mention in a few minutes' time as well.
So obviously, just looking back then at the week, you mentioned there about tee times and when people do tee off. That was one of the cliffhangers that we left from last week. So just talk us a bit more about obviously the thought process that goes behind that in your first round leader market.
Yeah, so I'll keep it relatively simple as best I can. So we just mentioned there about weather. Now, weather is something that can change. The tee time and what effect that does have doesn't change. So it's what I like to call a constant variable rather than a variable variable. And things as simple as the grass. So if we start with that and work backwards, if you imagine we've all done it, and I know you guys have got some amazing courses that you play over in your area and me on my side of the pond, like how pristine they are at 7, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. On a summer's day, you can see the dew, the greenkeeper's just been out in front of you, and it looks absolutely $1 million. Nobody's played it. You can barely see a footprint. Well, that has an effect on the scoring at the highest level. And that's just one thing. So not having people in front of you, not having 100 people in front of you that have trampled, spikes, caddies as well. One thing we must remember at this level, it's not just a golfer who's on the green. Each golfer has got a caddy. So a group of three in reality is actually six people, potentially even a referee at the highest tournament. So you've got that effect of creating undulation, bumps and hollows that you have to deal with later on in the day. Then you've got natural causes. So as we mentioned last week, this level of golf follows the sun. So they're always playing summer golf, whether it be in the south coast of America during these months or whether it's Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Europe in June, July, August. They're always got the sun beating down. So that means the grass actually grows. So the grass is longer in the afternoon. And we might only be talking like 3 millimeters, but that means that the greens are slower. They've got to hit the ball harder. There's more variable in their stroke because they're hitting it harder. So these things as well. And the final one of the main three is wind. Again, you'll know by the coast as well as hopefully a few listeners and watchers, the wind generally gets higher the longer the day goes on because it's tidal and the tide comes in, the tide goes out. So generally, it's around 8 to 12 miles an hour stronger for the afternoon tee times than it is in the morning. So by the time you add up those three things, it's around 1.3 shots different. And that is over the course of history, over the course of every single tour, every venue, 1.3 shots if you're in the morning versus the afternoon. And then that brings us into a segment. So 8 out of every 10, so 80% of the person who is leading after day one comes from just 8 tee time bracket. So if they're playing in 3 balls, 8 times 3, 8, 16, 24. So you've got 24 golfers where 80% of the time you know the leader's going to be in that short pack. So your 156 has become 24. And from there, again, without being rude, some of those 24 might not be playing very well. Some of those 24 have never played the golf course before. So you start whittling down and it becomes maybe 10 or 12. And then your job is finding 6 or 5 names from those 12. But again, all of it is data, statistic, probability based upon everything that we can access in the back. So yeah, that's probably the short and the long version. And hopefully that made sense.
Definitely.
Have you ever seen a first round leader come from last out?
Yes, I've seen everything over the 10 years. the one I will never, ever forget is the Memorial, which is the second event that I've been to, which is in Ohio, Jack Nicklaus's event, played at Muirfield Village. It was around 2017. I tipped a previous winner, a Swedish golfer called David Lingmerth, for first round leader. And he shot an 8 under par 64. And that was about the third group of the day. So he was leading for about 8.5 hours. And the final group of the day was Jason Duffner, who shot a 9 under 63. And again, in terms of reality, that was effectively a 58 because he was gaining on the field statistics data. He overachieved beyond all level of belief. But yeah, it happens. And obviously, you know, by default, 80% of the time it doesn't happen, but that leaves 20% of the time it does happen. Yeah. It can happen a lot in the Middle East. You know, sometimes you can get sandstorms and the exact opposite happens. It's more difficult in the morning. And then in the afternoon, everything goes calm. And Dubai, Abu Dhabi and Qatar, those types of events can account for a lot of the opposite. But yeah, it can happen.
Just before we move on to obviously what's to come this week, the Florida Swing is in full swing now with the event we've just seen in Bay Hill for the Arnold Palmer this week. I just wanted to mention something we didn't really harp on too much about last week was how people get onto the SJP Golf Tips website and what they get from us. So you can use code BOGEYBOYS. That'll give you 33% off the monthly, quarter and annual subscription fees, and that's forever. You can get that through www.sjpgolftips.com. And yeah, you can, as I say, that's the only way that you are going to receive the tips that Stu will provide. This segment is for the thought process and the thinking behind the magic, I suppose. So just before we move on to the future events, obviously, just to let the listeners know, what did we end up with then? In regards to those selections, how many points went on and how many points were returned?
Yeah, so a profitable week, which is good because, as we mentioned last week, sometimes you can go a few weeks with absolutely nothing. So 18 points went out on the Wednesday and just short of 20 came back in. So a profit for the week and the month and the year so far without a winner. So again, that's another tick in the box for the prices you're able to find. You get all your money back and you get some additional points there of profit that can go into this week. Pretty good sort of second prize, if you will.
Perfect. So on to this week then, what have we got? We've got DP World Tour again, still in South Africa, and then in Florida, the PGA Tour, as we've just mentioned.
We got quite a bit going on this week. And one thing, on a similar note to you guys there, just saying that, we couldn't obviously mention everything in week one, but this is a really good week to have a bit more of an explanation about the rationale and thinking. So we can't get into the habit, and I know you guys, and we can talk about the events absolutely no problem, but in terms of the gambling and the betting and that side of it, one of the best pieces of advice is that I've learned over the way and tapping into other sports and expertise is sometimes the best bet you can make is no bet at all. And we mustn't feel obligated that just because there's an event, we have to find and force a bet. There's actually three pretty high profile events this week, but there's a significant grading. And I liken it to football. Most people know enough about football to understand that we have a Premier League. You guys are doing your best to try and get out that Premier League, but then we have a Championship, then we have League One, and then we have League Two. We have a clear tier structure. Well, again, whether we like it or we don't, and whether we're precious as Europeans or not, the unfortunate thing currently is there's a massive tiering of professional golf. An open question, hypothetical question to the audience. Would you be comfortable or more comfortable betting on Everton versus Brighton and the type of players and statistics and data that might go into that game? Or would you be just as confident betting on Macclesfield versus Stockport, for example? Do we know enough about those players? Do we know enough about their manager and things like that? So this week we have a elevated event on the PGA Tour, which is the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Now, with that, it brings 12 of the top 20 players in the world. Now, without going off on a tangent, we know that that's not that relevant anymore at the moment with live golfers and things. But on paper, we have the world number one, Scottie Scheffler. We have Rory, Victor Hovland, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay, Jordan Spieth. These names roll off, and there's 80 very, very high-profile players all the way to Jason Day, the return of Will Zalatoris, Ludwig Åberg, new kid on the block. The quality is extremely high and very, very weighted towards that event this week. So the data, the analysis, the strokes gain, everything we've discussed is much more dependable on that level of golf. Because it's an elevated event, it has a sister event on the PGA Tour as well. So there's actually a second PGA Tour event running simultaneously, which is the Puerto Rico Open. Now, that has much less recognizable players, to put it kindly, headed up by Robert McIntyre. Never played the event before in his life, never been to Puerto Rico, never played the course. Rasmus Højgaard, never played the course, never been there before. So you can see what I'm getting at. I wouldn't be comfortable advising anybody confidently to spend much time or attention when the variables are a lot more open. So we wouldn't spend too much time on that. The DP World Tour is got the another event in South Africa called the Johnson Workwear Open. It has a golf course that's used to be very heavily used at Challenge Tour, and then it came back to be used on the DP World Tour last year, where Robin Williams was on a co-sanctioned Sunshine Tour. So he did well last week. He also won this event last year in its Sunshine Tour format. But beyond that, not many people have had a chance to be on the golf course since 2018, which would be five playings ago when it was under a Challenge Tour branding. So again, you can see what we're looking at. We're clutching at straws. There's a little bit of guesswork. So my personal feeling and my efforts will be heavily weighted towards the Arnold Palmer PGA Tour event, with a very small sprinkling of one or two bits from the other events. But back to that outlay and the reason behind the outlay, I would suggest at least three quarters of this week will be spent on Bay Hill for the reasons that I've said, because the data is more valid, reliable. The golfers are Premier League standard, not League One. And that's something we didn't really mention last week. We don't bet on everything for these reasons.
Perfect. Well, let's get into it then. Let's get into the Bay Hill. That's obviously where we're looking at 75% of our betting this week. So let's what's the thought process behind what the selections are this week, Stu?
Yeah, so really, really good event. One of the best, which is why it's now an elevated event. I've been there. I've seen it. 2018, I think I went. It's very, very tight, very US Open style. The scoring is very low, which is nice. It's not. I'm not a fan of watching bomb it, go find it, hit it again, 25 under par every week. That's not really testing good golfers. This is much more like it. So it's long par threes. It's a par 71, which can sometimes play as a par 70, like a true US Open test. So you can see already, I've used the word US Open at least three times. The winners in the last few years have all won a USGA major championship. So to give you an idea of previous winners, Jason Day has won here. He won the USPGA. Rory McIlroy has won here and finished runner-up. He's won two US Opens. And that leads into the first sort of giveaway, and one that I'm absolutely chomping to try and get some of my own personal money on. It'll have to be done in person. One person that leaps off for this week is Matthew Fitzpatrick, a winner of the US Open 2 years ago. He is fitting what we did touch upon last week, which I like to call a double trend. I was very intrigued as to how he finished today or last night with the delay in the previous Florida event. But he managed to register a top 20. The week before that, he registered a top 15. The week before that, he also made the cut on his first appearance of the year. And he has the most remarkable record at Bay Hill. In the last 5 years, he's finished second, ninth, ninth, 10th, and 12th. So never outside the top 12 with four top 10s. I like the fact he's now, again, local. He's uprooted his life and he lives and works and practices in Florida, like we talked about last week. And we saw the benefit of with Shane Lowry. He has a highly experienced caddy in Billy Foster, who will have been at Bay Hill for even longer than that, and no lines off tees, no greens and runoff areas. And amazingly, because of the strength of the field, he can be had at a best odds of 40 to 1, with 33 to 1 being the average for the top eight. So very, very similar sort of suggestion as last week with Shane Lowry. Tyrrell Hatton has won this event before in the recent past. Obviously, he's no longer with the PGA Tour at the moment, but it shows you English. Rory's won there, British. It shows that it rewards that. Tommy Fleetwood's had two top tens and a third. So it shows us that our British heritage works very, very well on that type of course. So without a shadow of a doubt, Matthew Fitzpatrick will be one of the stronger outright each ways. And potentially, if he gets that tee time bracket, and we know the weather is morning biased and there's no storms that we need to check on Wednesday when we get the latest weather, he might also be worth first round leader as well. So that's kind of the overall thinking. Also, back on that, we look at the course, long par threes. I would nip over and have a look at the statistics for par threes and strokes gained between 200 to 230 yards. The average par three is 217 yards. So for them, it's going to probably be a 5-iron. So we're looking at that sort of bracket, something Fitzpatrick excels at. Tommy Fleetwood, name again, Rory McIlroy. We're looking at these top pristine long iron players for this week. And it's probably going to be the first shorter odds winner. We've had an amazing run on the PGA Tour of 100 to 1 or above outsiders because the strength of the field has been quite open. But this week, at this type of venue, you're going to be looking at a really top golfer who's got a CV that's going to be winning this week. That's the thoughts going into that currently.
Yeah, and then what about over on the other side? Then I know we're only going to be spending a little bit of the point system on the DP World Tour and the sister events in Puerto Rico. But any sort of nuggets on those, what you're looking at?
Yeah, so starting with Puerto Rico, we've got quite a bit of history here, even though it's a secondary or a subsidiary kind of event. It's been played on this course called the Grand Reserve Country Club. It's actually been played there for quite some time, 11 years or so. And this links into something I remember Kev saying last week. This is really benefiting long drivers. So pretty much everyone who's ever won here has been in the top 10 for driving distance. So the penalties are quite few and far between once you get over 300 yards. The hazards are all carryable for those guys and not the others. It tells us the rough is short enough that even if they miss the fairway, their wedge or 9-iron, they're still going to be able to keep the ball on the green. So one person here certainly is a young up-and-comer, American golfer. He's graduated in the recent past by winning multiple times on the web.com or the Corn Ferry, as it changed its name to. And that's somebody called Brandon Wu. One of the bigger hitters. He's played here twice, finished seventh in his first appearance, followed that up with a third. And he's also had two top 15s in the last 3 weeks on the main PGA Tour events as well. So again, you're looking at around 33 to 1 for someone who's one of the longer hitters in that event. He's got two successful play-ins. And you really want to be having people like him on your side. Looking at driving distance, looking at the fact they're comfortable having played there before, so they know they can maybe cut a few dog legs off. With regards to South Africa, you really are going back in time to have a look at that type of form. We mentioned Robin Williams. He nearly won on the DP World Tour. He's someone you might want to have a look at if he gets that nice early tee time. And he's able to go away and continue last week's form when he lost in a playoff, carry on where he left off and hit the ground running. Other than that, there's other local South Africans, someone called Jaden Schaefer, 22-year-old young lad from South Africa who's had a really good start over the Christmas period when they spend some time in South Africa as well. He had a fifth, a seventh and a sixth place in the Leopard Creek stretch when they played the Joburg Open and the Leopard Creek. So he's someone who thrives on South African soil. And really, you're going to be looking for altitude. South Africa is above sea level, about 5,500 feet above sea level. So we'd be looking Switzerland. Switzerland event is also altitude. Is there any correlation between people who've done well over recent years in altitude? Makes the ball go longer. They can make those adjustments quicker with their irons compared to others and have that sort of comfort zone. It generally flies about 7% further in the air than it would do at non sea level. So, yeah, like I say, one or two golfers per event there. The money this week is to be made at the Arnold Palmer. And the most confident ones of the week would be Rory. I'm convinced he's going to get a win before the Masters. This is the first year he's committed to playing a number of events or this amount of golf before the Masters. He's doing that for a reason. Every week is practice for him. And he's had a 24th and a 21st. He's treading water this week on a venue that he's won at before. Another four top threes, including a second. It's somewhere that I think this could be his win that gives him some confidence before the Masters, which is only 4 weeks away as well. Yeah. So those would be my main two. I'd be inclined to concentrate there for the bulk of the conversation and outlay.
No, it's brilliant. You know, when you were talking about the par threes, just one little bit of thing. Well, I was talking about like driving distance. Obviously, Bryson won round Bay Hill, didn't he, as well? So yeah. Are you looking at longer hitters there? Is that a course that actually suits not just the long irons, but the longer hitter? Or you're not too fussed?
Yeah, not too fussed, to be honest with you, because you've had the likes of, Kurt Kitayama won last year, and he's not one of the longest. We've had, Scotty Scheffler probably is medium compared to some of the bigger hitters. And the fact you've had the likes of Matt Fitzpatrick, who up until the last few years, he's put on some yards in the last few years, but even before that, he had a couple of runners up. Jordan Spieth finished fourth here the last 2 years. He's not one of the bigger hitters. So it's not something really that I would be too concerned about, especially at like an Arnold Palmer, really traditional championship venue. I'd like to think it rewards accuracy more than distance at these types of venues.
Brilliant. Oh, well, look, we appreciate you coming on as always, Stu. We hope everyone's enjoying these segments. We'll continue them throughout the season. And again, just to reiterate, if you want to know exactly what the tips are, you just need to sign up through the website, which we confirmed before. And if you use the code BOGEYBOYS, you'll receive a third off the prices online. So then, until next week, Stu, thanks again for joining the podcast. We appreciate your insights as always, and we'll catch you next week.
No problem. Thanks very much. Good luck, everyone.
Happy betting.
Bye.
Great minds.
Great minds.
That's a great insight. It's good the way he looks. He looks at so much more, doesn't he, than just who, what, where, and when, why. It's like...
Yeah, well, I think it's somewhere, like you mentioned there, I think it's somewhere like this event where you've got the top players in the world playing, you know, the likelihood is they're all going to be in fine form heading into it. So you can rely on their statistics. And if you match their statistics with their form in previous events at that venue, then, you know, it's not easy, but it's more probable that people who've performed there well in the past are going to continue to do so.
As long as they get a good tea time.
As long as they get a good tea time, yeah. You realize how important that was. Mm-hmm. Then we sat the medals. I'm going to be making sure I get the 8 a.m. tea time every week. Mm-hmm.
I probably threw a spanner in the works and I won the club champs at 11:56 both rounds. Like,
probably helps you up putting all the undulations and spike marks, to be honest. Yeah.
A few bobble ins,
yeah. Definitely. Well, look, we hope you've enjoyed the podcast. As I say, we'll keep these coming every week. If you want to sign up, as I mentioned before, go to the website, use our code. As I say, it's been profitable in our first week, so hopefully that continues.
Yeah, that's it. Go forth and prosper.
Yeah, and on that note, we'll see you all soon.
Ciao.
Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.